Thank you for being here this morning. We continue this morning in our series that we have titled Anothering. And the premise behind this series is that no one should love people better than the people who are trying to follow Jesus. Jesus said that this is the way that people will know that you are my disciple. He didn't tell us to try to leverage political power or to influence wealth or to influence status. He said, our leverage is going to be love. Not even the highest form of love, the golden rule of treating people like you want to be treated, but it is treating people like Jesus has treated us. And this we are calling anothering, and it is not easy. I heard a story about a man on a business trip with a coworker, and on the trip, he could not help but notice how much the coworker communicated affection for his wife back home. He would text her over breaks, and he looked for a gift to take home to her. He sent her a postcard. He called her so he could tell her how much he missed her. And the guy was convicted. And he thought, I don't do those things for my wife. I used to. Maybe I've been taking her for granted. So he determined that when he got home, he was going to do some things differently. So he got off the plane and he went where he could change his clothes. And he put on some really nice clothes so that he could take her out. He bought her flowers. He bought a box of chocolates and a nice romantic card. Instead of pulling the car in the garage when he got home, he left the car right up front by the door so that he could take her out. And he goes to the door to surprise her, and he rings the doorbell. And she answers the door, and there he was looking so nice. And she just burst into tears. And he said, honey, what's wrong? And she said, oh, it's only been the worst day of my life. Your son broke his arm at school. And on his way to pick him up, I had a fender bender. Our washing machine broke and it flooded our entire basement. Your mother called and she said that she's coming for a couple of weeks. And now you come home drunk. Because when people have been difficult, it is hard to not see them with a label. To see people as problems instead of seeing people with problems. Anotherers see people with burdens, not as burdens. Remember Jesus' words, that's the foundation of this entire study for us in John 13. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Notice that Jesus just assumes that intentional discipleship is going to require intentional relationship. Jesus doesn't give anybody a self-study discipleship plan. You can't follow Jesus at home on the internet or on Facebook. You do it in community. And I know people who have told me, I've been hurt by the church. That's why I don't go to church. I love the Lord. I just don't love the church. But Jesus, who has always lived in community, understands nobody can sustain the pursuit of the life he lived by themselves. Real following of Jesus is a team sport. In fact, anothering is the evidence of whether or not you're even on the team. And some of you need to hear that. 1 John 3 verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Baptism does not prove that you've passed from death to life. You can be baptized and be dead. Going to church every week does not prove that you have passed from death to life. You can go to church every week and be dead. The evidence that the Holy Spirit has actually entered your life and begun the regeneration process is this. Do you love more and better than you did before Jesus? We've said this is what you learn the first day in class. This is discipleship 101, that you are not just an object of the love of God, but that you are an agent of the love of God. God did not pour out His love on you so that you could store it up, but so that you could be a conduit for His love to be poured out on other people. In other words, get this. That's why they try to get their bearing straight. There's a verse that I want to share that will be the launching pad for the rest of our teaching today from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It's a small verse and it simply says this: bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What a powerful statement. You're telling me that the whole law of Christ, everything God in Jesus wants of me, everything God expects of me, is summed up in one phrase: bear one another's burdens. Or to put it another way, in other words, emphasize each individual's right to bear harms. As sons and daughters of God, we are free. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are responsible. You see, our connection to Christ has somehow connected us to each other in a way that doesn't seem like an obligation, but it is a privileged expectation. It's not that I have to bear your burden, I get to. I want you to see this image. The person that's on the left in this image is Sir Edmund Hillary. It's said that he is the first man to ascend Mount Everest, but very few people know the other man. It was his Sherpa guide, Tenzing Norgay, who also ascended the summit at the same time. In fact, when they were on their way down, Hillary slipped, and if Norgay had not held the cable and pulled him back up, Hillary would have died. Tenzing Norgay, saved his life, but it is Hillary that would become world famous. And someone later asked Norgay if he resented that. He said, no, because mountain climbers help each other. That's what we do. Do you know what in other words do? Bear burdens. That's what we do. And that's important because have you noticed that people can be rather inconvenient? I'm talking to myself right now. If you are one of those people that tends to see other people as disruptions, you are going to have a hard time excelling at anothering. In other words, don't see people as problems. They see people with problems and they respond. Maybe you could give some respite care to someone who is caring for a loved one that is sick. Maybe you could go clean the house of a mama who has some little ones and could always use an extra hand. Maybe you could take a friend out for a meal and just ask how life is going for them right now. In other words, bear burdens. That's what we do. And what is a burden? Well, a burden is anything that is oppressing your brother or sister's walk in Christ. It could be financial. It could be relational. It could be spiritual or emotional. If it is oppressing their walk in Christ, it is a burden. And the world says regarding burdens, live and let live. Just stay out of my business. The church exists to confront the world. The church exists to provide an alternative model to the way the world does things. And you are the church. The verse does not say leaders bear burdens. It does not say, all of you with the gift of mercy, bear burdens. Every one of you has the right to bear harms. Every one of you has been uniquely equipped by the Spirit of God to do this. And one way you have been equipped to bear burdens is through the experience of your own burdens. To illustrate this, I'm going to need audience participation. So for the next few minutes, I'm going to mention several categories of people. And if you fall into one of those categories, I would like for you to stand. If in the last 3 years, in your extended family or a very close friend, you have dealt with the burden of death, would you please stand up right now? In the last 3 years, if you have gone through the burden of divorce, would you please stand up? If in the last 3 years, in your family or a very close friend, if there has been someone that has dealt with cancer, would you please stand? If in the last 3 years, you or your family has dealt with job loss or real financial stress, would you please stand up? If someone close to you struggles with mental illness, would you please stand up? I want all of us to look at this couple of verses together from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Go ahead and be seated. We support Rafa House here at the fort. It is a ministry that rescues girls from the slave trafficking industry. Their director, Stephanie Freed, shared once about a girl that had been rescued from Nepal who was trying to speak, and the interpreter was trying to interpret for her and said, she wants to share her weakness. Her testimony. And Stephanie said, what a powerful, interesting way to phrase it that is. That in fact, the Spirit of God often enables that part of your life that has been weak to become your testimony. There is immense potential in this room right now to bear burdens. And it is waiting to be released in the power of the Holy Spirit. But this only happens when the church has got her bearings straight. Well, what does that look like? Quickly, first, it means this: caring when people hurt. That's what anotherers do. I heard a story of a guy whose business was going poorly, and he would bring the pressure of that home, and he was in a sullen mood, and he would sit at the table in silence with his wife and 5-year-old daughter, and he would get up and grab the newspaper and sit in a chair and put that paper up like a wall. And this went on for several nights. When finally that 5-year-old girl went in there and she grabbed that paper from the top and pushed it down, and she got up in his lap and put her arms around him and squeezed him hard. And he said, honey, you're hugging me to death. And she said, no, daddy, I'm hugging you to life. This is what anotherers do. When life happens, we show up. We're not just faces in the crowd. We don't just love people abstractly. We love someone concretely. Anotherers love specific faces in specific places. The body deals with burdens different than an organization. An organization deals with people who are burdens like this. If you're on a sports team or in a business and you've become a burden, they get rid of you. That's what organizations do to burdens, but not organisms. I remember sharing with you just a couple of weeks ago about stubbing my little toe on our heater in the middle of our in the middle of the night this past winter. Well, just last week, I managed to kick the baseboard in our hall and cracked my toe right next to my little toe, and my whole body once again suffered with that toe as well. And at no point did the rest of my body say, well, just cut the toe off and get rid of that burden. Because in the body of Christ, when one member suffers, we all care. We've been taught in our culture that when someone asks how we're doing, to respond, I'm fine. But we need to be a people where it is okay to not be fine. Because anotherers take care of their wounded. Bearing means caring when people hurt. And secondly, it means daring to pursue holiness together. Anotherers will not allow each other to settle for a stagnant pursuit of the life of Jesus. So that verse, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Look at the verse that was right in front of that. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you also may be tempted. If someone is trapped in sin, it is their burden. It is oppressing their walk in Christ. How do we respond? Not with judgment. They don't need a tribunal. Jesus has already paid for their sins, so they don't need condemnation. What they need is restoration. Look up at the screen. This is, you probably know this, but this is the exact moment when about a week ago I jumped out of a plane. And then this is me safely back on the ground. Now, the only way it is possible for a guy like me or a guy like Nathan Shanks to jump out of a plane is to do this with a partner. Nathan Shanks asked me to join him in this experience, and I'm very glad that I did it. But if Nathan and I jumped out together, these pictures would look a lot different. You see, Nathan and I both were paired with someone who was experienced, with someone who had done this before, someone who knew exactly what it is that we could expect. And they helped us all along the way, and we landed in such a smooth experience. And nobody can sustain pursuit of the life of Jesus alone. Everybody needs a cheering section. Everybody needs a place where we can just be real. Everybody needs a community where self-disclosure can take place. Everybody needs what James 5 is calling us to do. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So that person that spoke truth to you, and maybe it hurt, maybe they got inside your comfort zone, but if they were calling you closer to Christ, then that person is the person that loves you. Listen, it is not real fellowship if it is not helping you down the path of real discipleship. In other words, dare to pursue holiness together. If I love you, I will not allow you to get stuck in a place where you cannot follow Jesus. One more thing, sharing your blessing. This is not complicated. Discipleship always has meant a radical redefinition of stewardship. Go read the first chapters of the book of Acts. When people became Christians, it immediately affected their wallets. They started selling possessions and their property so that they could help other people with financial needs. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and truth." God can only be seen when He becomes flesh and blood. And so now God is revealing Himself to the world by releasing into the world an army of anotherers who are not hoarding His love, but are conduits of His love. That's why I know a person that gives money every single month to someone who is in need, a person, a family, and they do so anonymously. That person actually asks me to identify individuals who are in need. Some in this church, some outside of our church. And the only catch is I can never reveal who the individual is. But it's very fun to be the delivery boy for blessings like that. You see, it's about making the love of Christ tangible because people who have been blessed are willing to share. That's actually my hope with this entire series with you, that you will become better at anothering because we all have burdens. I heard a story about a woman in an emergency room in Philadelphia. And there was a nurse, the receptionist behind the counter, and there was a Hispanic woman that came up to the counter, and she was pregnant. And there was this woman sitting watching this exchange take place because this Hispanic woman could not speak English, and the woman behind the counter could not speak Spanish. And the woman that was sitting there was a Vietnamese woman who only understood broken English. But she could get the gist of what this Hispanic woman was saying. So she stood up and she spoke on behalf of this Hispanic woman because she understood what it was that she was trying to say, and they were able to get her effective help. In fact, the hospital staff was so impressed with this Vietnamese lady's ability to help interpret this woman's language that they actually asked her to become part of their own staff. And her job was to help communicate from people with broken English these situations where they could communicate their burdens. And I thought, what a wonderful thing to have a place where someone can know the language of burden. Wouldn't that be neat if we could speak that language here? I'm going to sing a song of invitation, and if you have a decision to make this morning, I want to invite you to stand up as we make these decisions public.